Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Demolition Now, the official podcast of the National Demolition Association. I'm your host, Zach George, Membership and Operations Coordinator. This is our latest episode since Demolition San Antonio, the big 50th anniversary convention and expo, which took place March 6th through the 9th. A big thank you to all of our members out there listening who took part in what was a fantastic and fun event. Make sure to mark your calendar for Demolition New Orleans 2025 next year. NDA's next annual convention and expo will be held in the Big Easy March 5th through the 8th, 2025. On today's episode, we're going to take that energy coming off from the convention and go behind the scenes of the live demolition event in San Antonio, where 1,000 people attended, making it the biggest live demo event in NDA history. I sat down with NDA convention committee members Tim Ramone and Adam Robles, who played an intricate part in organizing the live demo event, and talked about the successes and challenges of planning the live demo this year. After that interview, we cap things off with a federal and legislative update from NDA Director of Government Affairs, Alex McIntyre. And now, a live demo behind-the-scenes conversation with Tim Ramone and Adam Robles. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm very excited to introduce and talk with our two awesome guests today. They both serve on the NDA Convention Committee and played a critical role in organizing the live demo event in San Antonio this year. I want to thank President of J.R. Ramone, Tim Ramone, and Adam Robles with Robles One to joining the Demolition Now podcast. Adam and Tim, thank you for being on today. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Zach.
Thanks for having us.
So let me first set the stage for our listeners. The live demolition event provides NDA convention attendees the unique chance to get hands-on experience testing the newest demolition equipment. Back in 2018, the first live demo event, there were 16 exhibitors and 24 pieces of machinery. In 2024, there were 27 exhibitors and nearly 47 pieces of machinery, basically doubled in both. My first question is, what was your initial reaction on the first day of the event, and how proud are you to be the reason of such a successful event?
Okay, I guess I'll start with that, Zach. Naturally, I'm very proud to be part of the NDA and part of the live demo team that put this together. I think that the pride and the accolades, the pride that we hold come from the accolades of not just the attendees and our peers, but from the exhibitors. A lot of the exhibitors were very appreciative of all of the efforts that went into the setup and the thoroughness of details that we put into this year. So I think that was one of the signs for me that it was a very successful event.
Yeah, and you know, I saw that we had 1,000 attendees present at the event, which was a record for it. So just seeing the crowd was a phenomenal experience for me, and that was my first event as being part of NDA.
Vendors were excited to be a part of it, and they showed that in the amount of participation that they came to the table with. Oval with their 7 machines for live demo, Komatsu with their 3 machines, and just everyone, Caterpillar, Link Belt, Bottom Line, Lee Bear, which just naturally, they did a phenomenal job of stepping up to the plate with the live demo challenge. So all of our vendors really came to the table, and they're the ones that make this happen. We were just privileged enough to get things set up for them.
Yeah, Adam, what was your initial reaction when, day of the event from the morning to the afternoon when everything was, seemed to be going so perfectly well?
So it might have seemed that way, right? But we had, a lot of little different things that were kind of, a little problem here, a little problem there, right? But kind of jumping on those right away, that kind of left the vendors, at more ease and, got to the point, fixed their issues. I mean, that's something that we had already learned from like the first three that me and Tim did together, but we already knew which kind of issues were going to pop up, right? So we kind of tried to alleviate those in the beginning by all our, our meetings before and trying to avoid these issues that we knew would happen, right? But the minor detail stuff that we had pop up was really nothing in comparison to, what we've had in the past that was more of an issue. So that really kind of left the vendors, happy, leading into the first people showing up. Everything was set up, everything was great. I couldn't have got, the best feedback from everybody, at least just from the starting point of it.
And I mean, that also kind of shows, credit to the volunteers that sign up to help, have make that event, run so smoothly and be able to address some of those little issues that come up. So that kind of leads me to, my next question in terms of the volunteers. When did you two first get involved in NDA, and why is it so important to get involved?
What drives me towards volunteering with the NDA is really to better our industry. It sounds kind of cliche-ish, but our industry is not going to get any better unless we have a group effort to raise the tide, raise the standard, raise the awareness of what goes on within the demolition industry, everything from safety to operations to the man on the ground to the guy behind the desk. And so this is our attempt to just give back a little bit to our industry and try to share some of the knowledge and experience we have with other people to better the industry. Let's make it safer, make it stronger, make it more productive and more profitable.
So, turning to kind of behind the scenes of the 2024 live demo, take our listeners back 10 months ago, a year ago, when you both agreed to take on the responsibility of planning this past live demo. How were you feeling, and compared to how you're feeling now?
I mean, it was great that we had home court advantage, right? That's something, in the past three that we helped out with, even if it was in Austin, that's still, an hour or 2 hours for us to get up there every day, right? But once they knew that it was coming to San Antonio and this was going to be, in our backyard, the sky was the limit for us, right? We were able to kind of, stage material for, I mean, Tim did a great job, saving material all year long, right? So the 2 weeks before we get there, he really had everything piled up, ready to go. At that point, it was more of just kind of organizing based on spots, machine sizes, that kind of stuff, right? But, overall, this was kind of our way to kind of, showcase what we've kind of experienced and learned, doing these in the past, and being able to, kind of show, what we've known and what we've done, and it was the best case scenario for us to be in this advantage for sure.
As Adam said, Zach, the true advantage was being local. And that's something that we have to advocate for future shows, that we need local representation from our membership. Whatever city, whatever market we're in, we need those local demolition contractors and local NDA members to participate, because that was a huge advantage, not just being available, but having the knowledge of the resources available to us here, reaching out to whether it be tent companies or rental companies or other demolition contractors that had concrete or steel material or resources that we could solicit from them. That's critical in a successful show, and something we have to push more. And the other thing I think that really contributed to the success when we started 10 months ago was, like Adam said, our familiarity with what a live demo is, what it needs, what the vendors want, and what the attendants want.
Yeah, I like the
This
phrase that, yep, go ahead.
I was going to say this was the third event that we put together, and so we already had a lot of those questions answered in previous years, so we were able to work autonomously well in advance of some of the planning that was done, just knowing, the shear guys want big steel to cut, and so okay, we can save that. The concrete guys want big concrete to break up. We can start saving that. That wasn't wait. We didn't have to wait till the last minute to try to source some of that stuff. The layout as well, knowing that the layout of the design is comes into play with the different vendors to make sure that everybody gets equal exposure and equal opportunity in the show. And so, way that we laid it out was very calculated in order to make it fair, give everybody plenty of room, and give everybody the proper exposure that they were looking for and paying for, basically.
Yeah, Tim, you mentioned the layout, and what I was so impressed was the land, which was your land that you guys were able to transform into what appeared like an annual outdoor event that we have every single year in San Antonio. But can talk a little bit about the work that went in to transform that land to having such a successful layout to hold this event.
Well, that area where the show was held was actually our concrete crushing area. 6 months prior to that, we had piles that, mountain high piles of concrete to be crushed. We had mountain high piles of crushed concrete that was being loaded out, and concrete crushers just circling the area. So that was a lot of transformation and cleanup, I call it, of relocating that operation to the south end of the property. The area that we used was only about a 15 acre, 20 acre area. The property is a 75 acres. So I trans relocated that concrete crushing operation to another area in the rear, making that front highway exposed area available for the show. It was flat, it was stabilized. It answered a lot of the questions that are and a lot of the challenges that past shows have had. We've had shows where it was muddy. We've had and we struggled through that. We've had shows where it wasn't level, and we struggled through that. And we've had other shows where it was to be restored to a pristine condition, or the condition that we got it in, which posed another set of challenges. So the property just was kind of conducive to the show, being that we didn't have time frames. We were on our own time frame, so I could schedule this as needed. We had a lot of the materials on site already, and could easily stockpile, had plenty of room and resource to stockpile more in the months in advance. And even stuff like last minute stuff like the asphalt road that we put around. I had milled asphalt there on site and just decided to use it in order to enhance the look of the site and make it nicer for the attendants and the exhibitors. Cut the dust down, gave them a level walking surface, things like that. We just had those resources available, and we were fortunate to be able to extend what we knew and put that together with the resources, and it was just kind of the perfect recipe.
Yeah.
Another thing that I have to give a lot of kudos to is the NDA staff, between Natalie and Jackie and Andrew. They're really the masterminds and the brains behind it, because Adam and I know what's going on, and we did a lot of work, boots on the ground, but they really. They're the wizard behind the curtain that really made things happen. They kept us well organized. They kept us well on track, well in advance, answering the questions or providing some of the material, the information that we needed to move forward, and sourcing the vendors. Sourcing the exhibitors. Andrew did a fantastic job with that, and one of the reasons why we had so many such an increase in machines in the live day. So. Hats off to Jackie and Natalie and Andrew and their participation of it. This would not have been anywhere near the success it was without them.
Yeah, they're absolute rock stars, and being able to work with them every day is a privilege, and I know they're going to really appreciate hearing that when they listen to the podcast later. I just have a couple more questions for you two before I, give you back the rest of your time today. What kind of discuss what were some of the biggest challenges or the challenges that you faced that you're able to, talk on the podcast about?
So I guess some of the biggest challenges, were just, making sure the vendors were all on the same page, right? Because as every year, you have the ones that are always going to be the last minute ones, and the ones that, are not going to be as prepared as, even though you tell them, 10 times, bring fuel for your machines or make sure you have a cap guard, or you're always going to have the ones that. That always skip those steps, and you have to improvise it at the end. But I mean, that's kind of some of those things that we kind of put ahead of time and try to eliminate these. And, so this year was very, very minimal. An issue here with the vendor, an issue there, right? But I mean, this, I would say compared to most, this, we had very minimal challenges, I would say. And I would say we have more pros than we did cons, that's for sure.
That's well, I know there's a lot of people on NDA is going to be great. We'll love hearing that. I did want to hit on the live demo challenge. So this was the first year of the live demo challenge. Can you talk about how that came to be and ultimately what that looked like?
Well, when you asked what was your biggest obstacles and challenges for this live event, that's exactly what came up. Well, it was the live demo challenge. Oh my gosh. Earlier, Adam commented on the day of the event and what was going on and all of the things that, the little details that cropped up that needed attention and whatnot that Adam and the other volunteers took well care of. I wasn't involved in that because I was so overwhelmed with the demo challenge. So thank you, Adam, for handling all of that stuff kind of autonomously with you and your guys, because I did not have the bandwidth to participate on that side. I was so overwhelmed with the challenge.
I left you with the headache for sure.
So the challenge, two things that, again, it was not possible without the exhibitors that willingly jumped up to support it. Epiroc, Lee Bear, Shearcore, and Oilquick. Boy, they were just paramount in putting it together as far as making it happen, providing the equipment for it. That and the volunteers. Peter with Steel Wrist was a huge help in getting it set up in the days before the challenge. And then Rich with Epiroc, he and his son, who came out to volunteer and help set up, they were just integral parts of setting up the challenge and kind of tweaking it out. How the challenge came to be, well, that was kind of just my brainstorm that, knowing the demolition industry and knowing some of our peers, we're a very competitive group. We're just competitive in nature. We pride ourselves on our skills and talents, and most of us are equipment guys. We pride ourselves on our knowledge and abilities, behind the controls. And I thought it would be a fun event. I thought it would be something fun to add a little life and exposure to the live demo show, give some of the attendees something to watch as they're walking around, and give some of the attendees to participate and actually compete in, I hope it grows in future years to become a staple in the live demo, or a staple somehow within the NDA, to have some sort of challenge where we recognize the true talent that it takes to be a demolition operative. And it's not just the operator, it's the safety standard, it's the coordination, the teamwork, the overall demolition process that we do. And so that's where it kind of came to be, is I was wanting something different and fun and just kind of spice things up again with the live demo, so it would not become a complacent event after it being the fifth year held. And so I just started racking my brain on what could I put together to have a contest, and that's what came out. Now, the actual administering the challenge of running it that day, again, I could not have done it without the volunteers that came out. We had about a dozen people that stayed there the majority of the day and really learned on the spot what was needed and executed their duties just impeccably. It was amazing to see people come together and see that challenge come out and people understand it and be excited to see it. Those volunteers that we had from other NDA members and committee members, they were very important in the success of the challenge. Like I kind of
Absolutely.
I
Yeah,
had
absolutely. It
explained how
was.
the Oh, go ahead, Zach.
Oh, I was just gonna say that was very, very cool to watch. And also seeing that it brought a crowd. I almost think if we had a television crew, that they could have played it on ESPN if you had announcers to go along with
That's something to do in the future.
it.
I hope it does develop into just a fun event and a fun time. It's competitive, and some people take it serious, but it what we do is serious, but it should be fun too. You need to enjoy it.
So I want to conclude with this. What was the biggest takeaway? As we send you off from this interview, what was your biggest takeaway from the live demo event?
My biggest thing was being able to, now I know what it's going to take, to handle that many vendors at one time, right? I know being that this was kind of our biggest show to date, it kind of gave me a good feel of what to expect, going into next year, helping out Andrew DiBiase. But being able to manage all those vendors now, I kind of got a better idea of, how they kind of operate, because, we're demo guys. We operate at a fast pace every day, right? A lot of these guys are, they work at a slower pace, and you're gonna have to adjust to people's different ways of managing. But now that I kind of got the idea, that's definitely helped me out, and I'm definitely gonna take that going into New Orleans, right? It's even though it's not gonna be my, home port, but being that we have Simone's help there, and she'll have that home court advantage to help us kind of eliminate some of these little issues that kind of gave us trouble this year. But that's the biggest thing that I took out of this was, knowing who the vendors are and how they operate, and really appreciate the opportunity they gave me to actually help out with this one.
Well, I concur with everything that Adam said. The experience that we had with everybody was fantastic, but I have to comment on my biggest reward on this was getting to work with Adam. That dude's sharp, and he's resourceful, and he's organized, and he has good leadership and a good vision. And so, Adam, thank you, man. It was a pleasure working with you.
It's been one work with you too, right? And I've told you that many times, right? Even though we're competitors, by day, and when
I
it
think
comes
we're
to
friends
it,
first.
we're friends first, exactly. Well, that's a
And
great.
that was something that a lot of people commented. San Antonio in general, our demolition community here, we got a bucket full of us competitors that I think all of us consider ourselves friends first. We all have each other on speed dial. We talk all the time. We help each other out whenever we can. Between Robles One, J.R. Ramon, Alamo One, M&M Contracting, Hunter Demolition, Hansco. I mean, there's just a group of us here that we understand how business works, and it's easier to stay in business when you have friends, not enemies. That's something that I would like to model and show other markets and other communities that it can work, and you're stronger together. That's something that I really took away here, seeing this really in action with the live demo and people coming together. We had some, call them competitors, but again, they're friends, all the way from Austin volunteering to send stuff down and things like that to participate in the show. Everybody wanted to be part of it. And I invite other markets and other people to have that camaraderie with, you don't have to have it just with the guy in another state or across the country. You can have it with your competitor across the street, and you can be friends, and y'all can both enhance your business by sharing information, not necessarily trade secrets, but again, raising the standard of demolition and the expectations of what you have and what the market has by standing together with it. So
Well, that's
very well said.
a great note to end on. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Tim. Before we conclude, I did want to shout take a moment to give a shout out to the chair of the convention committee, Jeff Sessler with Sessler Recking, who is unable to join us today, but would be inappropriate not to mention him with all the success of the 2020 the 2024 annual convention in San Antonio. So just wanted to mention him and give him a shout out. But Tim and Adam, thank you so much for taking the time to join the podcast today. You both deserve a long vacation.
All right, we'll send NDA the bill.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
Coming up next, NDA Director of Government Affairs Alex McIntyre will give you the latest from Washington, D.C. with a federal update. Stay tuned.
Hello, this is Alex McIntyre with NDA's Government Affairs team. Today I'm going to do a brief rundown on everything that's been happening in Washington, D.C. There's been three major developments in Congress since the last podcast. First, Congress was finally able to come to an agreement on a fiscal year 2024 appropriations bill to fund the government through the end of the fiscal year, which concludes in September. NDA was able to secure a lot of our important priorities in the bill, so that was good to see. These include things like strong workforce development funding. The bill fully funds the infrastructure law, which is obviously important for the demolition industry. It also includes funding for the EPA Brownfields program and the EPA Superfund program. Then it includes funding for the Community Development Block program, disaster relief funding, and then small business support as well. The other big news on Capitol Hill over the past few weeks, the House has finally passed a workforce development bill to update the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act for the first time in 10 years. This is a bill that NDA has been pushing since the start of this Congress. I'm just asking the House to finally, after a decade, look to update and reauthorize the nation's workforce development programs. And so this bill includes a lot of important provisions that will improve the workforce development system to help address workforce shortages. It boosts skills development, provides funding for workforce training, education. It creates an emphasis on employer-led programs that equip employees with the skill sets to fill jobs in critical industries. Like construction, so that's good. And then it includes a lot of other programs to kind of align employer needs with how the workers are getting trained. So this bill would be a huge step in the right direction for the construction industry, the demolition industry. And so this is our top priority bill right now. So it's good news that it did pass Congress. It did receive strong bipartisan support. It passed by a vote of 378 to 26. So that was a positive sign. Now as the bill shifts over to the Senate, and so we're hoping that strong support kind of pushes the Senate to take up this bill quickly. And so we're going to be shifting our advocacy efforts to the Senate and see if we can get them to pass this bill and then get it signed into law. The other big bill we're tracking in Congress is the business tax incentive bill. So this is a bill that would provide a number of tax incentives for companies and employers, such things as bonus depreciation, expanded Section 179 expensing. And so right now that bill, it passed the House, but it's kind of stalled in the Senate currently. And so we're kind of gearing in and trying to focus on pushing the Senate to take up the bill. There's a few disagreements between the parties on that bill and the Senate, so we're hoping that those can get resolved and then the bill can get passed into law soon. Now I will shift to the regulatory side. So there's a few big updates there as well. So as I've talked about before, the Department of Labor has proposed a new rule to update the overtime salary threshold. And so that rule has been under review from the White House currently, and it actually just cleared the White House review and now will be published in the Federal Register any day now. So obviously when this bill, or sorry, when this rule does come out, it could have big implications for employers. And so NDA is going to be keeping companies updated on that. And then, there could be court challenges too, depending on what's in the actual final rule. So we will keep everyone updated on that. And then we are also supporting a bill in Congress to stop the rule. And so the way that the rule is proposed, it would increase the minimum salary threshold by about $20,000. This would obviously have a big impact on employers and disrupt day-to-day operations for both employers and the employees. And so we're hoping to stop the rule if possible. And some of the other regulations that we're tracking, there's the Joint Employer Rule, where the National Labor Relations Board is trying to expand the Joint Employer Rule. And we NDA has come out against the rule, and the rule is actually just struck down by a district court in Texas. And so currently the rule is not in effect. It's going to continue to probably go up the court system. I'm guessing the government is going to appeal the ruling up to the appeals court. And so we'll see what happens there. But we were happy to see the court strike down the rule. Also, a bill that we've been pushing in Congress to overturn the rule actually just passed both the House and the Senate as well. So it did receive bipartisan support. There's a good chance that President Biden will probably issue a veto for the bill. However, I think on the bill passing Congress with both Republicans and some Democrats kind of shows that there's bipartisan opposition to the rule. So we'll kind of see what happens there. And then the other major regulation we're tracking is the Department of Labor Independent Contractor Rule. So this rule technically has gone into effect. We are a supporter of a bill in Congress to overturn the rule. It's a rule that would change the classification for independent contractors and make it more difficult for individuals to classify as independent contractors. So we do have concerns about that. There are court cases and challenges in the court system. So this rule could get put on hold as well. So those are all the latest updates in DC. I thank you for tuning in today, and we will talk to you next time. Thanks.